Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today is Good Friday. I'm going to talk about the readings for Easter on Monday, but right now I want to focus on Good Friday. This day, when the beloved Son of God died for you and for me. He did. He knew you before you knew yourself. Before you were created in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he loved you. And he died for you, even knowing how we would turn away, even knowing how we would betray him. He died for you that the power of his death might bring you to conversion, might bring you to a place where you turn back to him. Let's take a look at the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 13 to chapter 53, verse 12. So 52:13 to 53:12. This is the prophet Isaiah. These are the suffering servant passages. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised up and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, his appearance beyond that of the sons of man. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless, for those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned, he was avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom men hide their faces. Spurned, we held him in no esteem. That was Jesus' earthly life. We held him in no esteem, except for a few. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our offenses. Take that in, brothers and sisters. He was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. He was whipped, brothers and sisters, till the skin and the flesh were apparent down to the bone. He was scourged. He was beaten for us. And by that terrible suffering, we were healed. Eternal life was made possible for us. Our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be wiped away because of what Jesus did for us. Look at his mercy. He would take upon himself our suffering. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted. He opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away, and who would have thought any more of his destiny when he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sin of his people? A grave was assigned him among the wicked and a burial place with evildoers, though he had done no wrong nor spoken any falsehood. But the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. Not pleased in the sense of, you know, self-satisfaction, but knowing that Christ's willingness to do the will of his Father would bring the possibility of eternal life for all of us. That's what the Father was pleased by. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. And that's what we're called to. We want to run from suffering as far as we can. Take all the legitimate steps to free you from suffering, but there is suffering that we can't avoid, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever, we can't avoid it. Unite it with Christ for the salvation of others. John Paul taught us that. By ourselves, our suffering has no eternal value. But when we unite our suffering with the suffering of Christ and ask that many people might be saved through our suffering, God will use it. Your suffering has infinite value if it's offered. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great. He shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death. He was counted among the wicked. He shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. He made it possible by this horrendous death that you might have eternal life. How stupid if we ignore. Psalm 31, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commend my spirit. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, brothers and sisters, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Believe that God is who he says he is. Believe what God wants to do in you and through you for all eternity. Believe. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. When we need forgiveness for our sins, turn to the throne of grace. In the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus was willing to embrace the will of the Father. That's what we're called to. And it will lead to eternal life. Embrace the cross. Don't shun the cross. Embrace it. Put your arms around it and say, Father, may your will be accomplished through the cross I'm carrying. And it will be done. And you will rejoice for all eternity. Yes, do whatever doctors tell you. Yes, seek to get better in any way, especially if it's physical suffering. But brothers and sisters, don't waste the infinite power of your suffering if you offer it in union with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is so much about the gospel for this Good Friday. John 18, 1 to 19 and 42. And there is no way that I can take this program in the last few minutes of it and read to you all of the passion. But what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you sometime today, apart from the Good Friday service, you will have the passion, the whole passion read to you. But I'm going to ask you to take some time alone and read the passion that's given to us, John chapter 18. Read the passion out loud and pause as you see what Jesus suffered mentally, physically, spiritually. See what Jesus suffered. Read the passion out loud and ask God to take the knowledge that you're being given of what Jesus suffered for you, that it goes that long journey from your head to your heart, that you truly become this Good Friday a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go. I think there's a way that the Lord is asking us to step out now into some, in a certain way, unknown territory. Not really. You have been baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ. For heaven's sakes, don't stand on the sidelines. Let's get in there. Let's read it out loud and ponder, Jesus did this for me. That could even be your refrain. Jesus did this for me. Read several verses. Look at the suffering. Jesus did this for me. I want you to take some time to do that. I want you to ponder what Jesus did for you. Think of that. You are so, in a certain sense, so infinitely valuable to God that he would have suffered just for you. An immortal soul is so infinitely precious that God wouldn't say like we do today, we put great store in numbers. Oh, he died for 150,000 people. That sounds really good. He died for one? Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Jesus died for you as though you were the only person on the face of the earth. Jesus did not die for numbers of and countless faces of anonymous people. He died for you. He saw you as he was dying on that cross, and he offered it for you. Even though you had not been created yet, he knew you. Psalms tell us, before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. Brothers and sisters, take some time today on this Good Friday. Read the Passion. Read it from the Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 18. Read it. Read it all the way through. Read it out loud. And periodically just say, Lord, thank you for doing this for me. What more can I say? What more can I offer you? You know, I've often, in talks, I've often said the longest journey a man or a woman takes, quoting G.K. Chesterton, is the journey from the head to the heart. You can have the information in the head, but only when it touches the heart does it change your way of thinking or change your actions or change your attitude. I want you to walk that journey. It's not an easy one. But when you really embrace, and in this case, when you embrace the passion and death of Christ as being done for you. See, we don't think that way. We think in terms of masses of people, and we think of ourselves as more anonymous. But Jesus knew everything about you when he died for you. And yes, we need to understand the body of Christ and live in the body of Christ, absolutely. But I think it's also very important that Jesus, you are so infinitely precious to God. He died for you, personally. I want you to take that in, brothers and sisters. May God lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.